Good job. She did amazing. That was amazing. That's hard to do, actually, what she just did there. Years and years of practice for me to be as good as I am at it, which is not that good. Have you figured out the technique? I think we've been in this building for 12 years. We've been in town 18 years. We were in the storefront. We were actually in the, oh, what's it called? The black tie, where the black tie is. That was our building for 6 years. We rented it for 6 years. And then the black tie was in a different location. And then eventually they needed to move back into their space. And so we were scrambling. We only had like, oh man, a week or two, like really short notice. And so we were scrambling and we came in here and said, hey, can we just rent some space? And then it's really hard to find better space than, and it would look different. Do you guys remember the walls of closets on this side? There was like a maze out in the foyer, a maze of different offices and counters and yeah. And then we just leased it for, rented it just on Sundays, right? How many years did we do that? 6 years, probably. And then they decided to sell it. We thought, okay, let's buy it. So then we bought it, and then demo. We're still doing demo. We got carpet coming. Did you guys know that? Picked out. Oh, I don't have the sample. Neutral, guys. It was going to be bright red or neon green, but we decided instead to go with like brown gray because we're exciting like that. A true story. When I was a kid, we're going somewhere. I don't know. At some point, we're going somewhere. When I was a kid, I grew up in a little country church. The carpet was green with like a, some of you know this carpet because some of you, it was in a lot of churches. It was green with like this swirl design that was like black and kind of brown. And true story, I could sit there as a child and stare at it for an hour and be interested. Like I would follow the lines and try to like get out of the maze. And I remember like it was so wild that carpet was. I think they put it in the 60s or the 70s and it was pure entertainment for children before they had children's church or coloring books. When you had to sit in church, you just stare at the carpet and like make designs out of it. It will not be that exciting. Sorry, kids. It will be a very much more boring but beautiful carpet. All right. I had a lot of point there. That was a very important point that I had to make. So, exciting things. Winter mentioned that in 8 days, there's actually so much it's hard to announce. In 8 days, there's a small team going back to Turkey. It's, are we recording yet? Gotcha. Okay. Moving on. And then also on Monday and Tuesday of this week, actually, Jeff and Stanley, is Stanley here? I know he is, but stepped outside. Jeff and Stanley are going to Sioux Falls. And I just want to talk about this for just a second. They have committed to taking at least one trip a month to Sioux Falls to work among internationals in that city. And so they go there, they go for 1 day, 2 days, and they basically, from sunup to sundown, they're evangelizing door to door in international neighborhoods. And they're looking for God to give them what we call a person of peace, the person who God has prepared to receive the gospel, right? And what they're ultimately believing God for is to be able to plant house churches among internationals in Sioux Falls. Isn't that cool? So this is Muslim background believer, or Muslim background people, Buddhist background people, some Hindus. And the first time they went, they just keeping a little tally, they shared the gospel with people. Okay, they shared the gospel. I wasn't going to. They shared the gospel with people from 12 different nations. Most of in the 1040 window, the part of the earth that's unreached in northern Africa and Asia. So remarkable. And God's given them some persons of peace. Very, very exciting. And so what I'm sharing this for is this is going ongoing. Maybe there's someone in this room that you would feel like you would want to jump in on this team sometime. Come talk to Jeff. I think this is an amazing thing that God's leading them into. And I'm wondering how many of you could pray for Jeff and Stanley on Monday and Tuesday? That's when they're going. Okay. And then if we're going to remember to pray, we got to put it in our phone, right? You have permission to get your phone out right now and set an alarm for Monday and Tuesday to remind yourself to pray for them as they go, that God would give them, you know, the persons of peace, the people who are ready to receive the gospel, that we'd have the first salvations and the first house churches planted. It's exciting, isn't it? And you ready for one more? Don't get too tired on me. There's a Thailand trip in June, but our first meeting is right after church today. If you're interested in going to Thailand, come right up here to the first couple rows right after church. We're going to have like a 30 to 40 minute meeting from about 12:30 to 1:15 will be over for sure. Okay? All right. We're like in the nations, aren't we? This is a dream come true. We were just dreaming of this 4 years ago. We are living what we have been dreaming about. Praise God. So we're actually in a series. Oh my goodness, what a coincidence. Neighborhoods and Nations. We're in a series. Neighborhoods and Nations, making Jesus known in all the earth. Don't worry. If you can't go to Thailand, there are people in Huron that need Jesus, right? In your backyard, at your workplace. Absolutely. And so we're in a series. This is James River Church, identity series maybe. Like, we're talking about over the course of 12 weeks some of the major things that the Holy Spirit has put as foundations in our church. That God has insisted that this is something that I want you guys to live out. So we've talked about the Great Commission. We've talked about living the yielded, consecrated life to the Lord. This has been a beautiful series. If you're new to our church, it's kind of like Welcome to the Family series. Go back and listen to the messages. They're online. And wonderful, wonderful series. I've really been enjoying it. So today, continuing on, we're going to actually talk about the call to use spiritual gifts. The call to use our spiritual gifts. And some of you might be like, what does that have to do with, like, why is that one of the big ones? Let me tell you, it's because every single person in this room, if you're born again, God has given you a spiritual gift. And this family will never be all that it's meant to be in God until every single born-again member of the family is using what God's given them to serve. That old-time church model in America where the pastor is the one that does all the work and the people, you know, oh, like, pastor's not meeting my needs. Guys, Jesus meets your needs. No pastor can meet your needs. But the actual model is every member is a minister. Do you know that? We all have a part to play, right? And we want to be a church where we are recognizing and utilizing and honoring the grace of God on every single person. Nobody in this room is not needed. And I'm not giving you a pep speech. I'm going to show you in the Word. I'm not just being like, you're all so special. You are so special. But it's not like, oh, Autumn's so nice. God's so nice, and he says it in his Word, and he really meant it, right? So I thought to start off with, I'd like Jeff to come up, and I couldn't live without you. I adore you. I love you more than anything, but not Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit.
Good.
For the first 25 years of our marriage, we've married 27 years, every time he told me, I love you more than anything, he would say, well, not more than Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And after 25 years, I said, could we finally just, I just know it. I just know every time you tell me you love me, you don't have to qualify it that you love God more. I just, after 25 years, I'm fully aware that you love Father, Son, Holy Spirit more than me, and I am in full unity on that. Okay. All right, let's, we never do this, but we're going to actually stand to honor the reading of the Word and just to be fully engaged. And if you have a Bible or you want to read along in the Bible on your phone, this is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 through the end of the chapter, and we're reading an NLT. You can read it in any version you want, but in case you're on your phone.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 4 through the end of the chapter. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given ability to interpret what is being said. If the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, "I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand," that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, "I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye," would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, "I don't need you." The head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all.
Amen. Yes, thank you, Jesus. We say yes and amen to your word. You may be seated. Thank you, Jeff. So what are spiritual gifts? I like C. Peter Wagner's definition, because we can look at the spiritual gifts, and the Bible calls them special abilities. But this is how we put it into a definition, which I think is wonderful and super biblical. A spiritual gift is a special attribute given by the Holy Spirit, so it's given by the Holy Spirit, to every member of the body of Christ according to God's grace for use within the context of the body. God's church, God's people, right? So who has spiritual gifts? Because, you know, I talk to so many believers. If you go out to coffee with me more than once, you're even new to the church, you will probably be asked, "Hey, so what gifts do you have? Like, what are some of the gifts that God's given you?" Because I'm also pastoral, I always want to, like, what are people like? What has the Holy Spirit given them? So we can use it, right? So we can use it for the benefit of the body, right? So who has these gifts? Every true born-again believer in Christ has at least one spiritual gift given to you by God. And this is what Ephesians 4:7 says. He has given each one of us a special gift. In the context, he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us. It's just what Jeff just got done reading, right? It's like he likens the church to a physical body we have all different kind of parts, right? You got a big toe, you got a little toe, you got a hand, you know, you have a heart, you have a liver. You know, how many of you just like it all to be there? You don't want to be missing any of your body, right? You can just because you're right-handed, are you just like, well, you know, my left hand's kind of expendable. I mean, I'm right-handed. Just chop it off, no big deal. No, we like our whole body. And so that's how the Lord says the spiritual gifts are. Like every person in the body is very, very important and has a gift to give. Who can give them? I wish, because sometimes people, you'll see some charismatic churches. We're charismatic. I like the charismatic movement. But sometimes they'd be like, come on up. I'm going to lay hands on you and I'm going to give all of you the gift of prophecy. I want to challenge you. I don't think you can give spiritual gifts to other people. I don't think you can do that. Who gives the gifts? 1 Corinthians 12, let's look straight to the word. He just read it. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Isn't that great? Because if I decided, I would mess it all up. I would think, oh no, you really need this. And the Lord's like, that's not what that person needs. Now, I will say this. I do think that sometimes God can give us a recognition of something that he wants to do in a person. For instance, it says that Paul says to Timothy, stir up the gift of God that was given to you by the laying on of hands. So did Paul really just give him a gift? Well, we know the Holy Spirit is the one that gives the gifts, right? The one and only Holy Spirit gives the gift. But I think Paul and the elders called Timothy up and they could see what God was doing in his life. And as maybe leaders, they said, I just see that God's giving you the gift of prophecy and we want to lay our hands on him firm right now. And so they lay their hands on him and they say, we affirm that we see and recognize this gift of the Lord that's on you, right? And in that case, then Paul says, stir up that gift that was given to you when we laid the hands on you. That was the moment the Holy Spirit gave Timothy a gift, was when they laid their hands on him. But Paul's not the one that gave the gift. Holy Spirit gives the gifts. Right? So what are they for? And how do you use them? 1 Corinthians 12:7, we just follow this passage. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. What are the gifts for? I like it in the New King James Version. It says this, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. What are they for? Serving one another. God doesn't give any of his children gifts so like you can just feel better about yourself. We feel good about ourselves because we're in Christ and we're redeemed and we're forgiven and our identity as sons and as daughters. We can love the spiritual gifts he's given us. Certainly. I hope you do. I think you will. But he gives them to us for a purpose, and it's so we can lay down our life in serving one another in a supernatural way. Literally, he gives you supernatural graces and gifts from the Holy Spirit directly to you for the sole purpose so you can love your brother and sister better. That's why every single member in the body of Christ is a minister. Every one of us have to be serving and giving. There's just no, it's not a spectator sport. It's not just like, oh, I'm a bench warmer. Everyone gets to be in the game playing. That's his way. I encourage you this week to read four different passages of scripture. Just do your own little study on the gifts of the Spirit. The main passages you can find them in is Romans 12, 1 Corinthians, I'm just going to say 12, 13, 14. It's 12 to 14. And Ephesians 4. Those are the main passages where Paul teaches on the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to the church. I don't know if I listed them in your notes or not. Did I list a list of gifts? No? Okay. I'm going to read to you about 23 gifts that are just really easily recognized in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Ephesians 4. Because it's good for us to remember, like sometimes we think, if I said, name a gift of the Spirit, some of us would struggle. Or we would say, we could maybe list like two or three. We'd be like, prophecy? And sometimes it's just good for us to hear it again, all the different gifts and the variety of gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. So, number one, prophecy. If you're taking notes, just jot it down. The gift of prophecy. Actually, that one's listed, I believe, in every one of those passages. Then there's the gift of service. Gift of serving. There's a teaching gift. So Jeff so clearly has a teaching gift. There's the gift of exhortation or encouragement. I love this gift. If you're in this room and you think you have the gift of encouragement, like you just love to encourage, raise your hand, Stanley Woolman. Okay. Okay. Awesome. I love that. So the Lord literally, the Holy Spirit anoints people with the supernatural ability to encourage another person. I pray for this often. Lord, anoint me to encourage people. Then there's a gift called giving. Now, do we all give to the Lord? Yeah. We all are under the same instructions in the word, right? To give our tithes and our offerings, to give 10%, to give above that even. We give everything to the Lord. But some people literally have a supernatural gift from the Holy Spirit called the gift of giving. And when they think about how to minister to people, they think in terms of meeting needs through giving. They're anointed at this. I love this gift. I think my dad has this gift. He's just so generous and never thinks twice about it. I've often thought that Chad and Winter as a couple have the gift of giving. And I've also often thought that Shannon has that. Where when there's a need, it's like, what can we do to meet that need? What can I give? Like, they're just anointed to think. When I see a need, I think, how can I rally people to pray? Or how can I get a word for that person? But some people, when they say a need, they automatically go into, how can I give? It's a gift because they have a gift of giving. Then there's the gift of leadership. Literally, the Lord anoints you to lead in the context of the church, to serve through leadership. Then did you know there's a gift of mercy? Some of you are so merciful. Every situation you see, even if it's terrible, you're just naturally seeing, well, that person's really hurting. Oh, yeah, they're really treating people awful, but look what they've went through. Well, you know, don't be the first one to throw the stone, right? And you're naturally, like the Holy Spirit has given you a gift to operate in mercy. That's really needed in the body. Then there's a gift of wisdom. I think we all just need to ask Jesus for this one regularly, don't I? Where maybe there's situations that come up and the Holy Spirit gives you, this is more than just like, I've lived a lot of years, and that's really good. There's something about that. You lived a lot of years on this earth and you start getting some wisdom. That's great. But this is the Holy Spirit giving you supernatural insight into situations so you could speak wisdom about how to proceed forward or how to act on a situation. And then there's the gift of knowledge, which I feel like they're so similar. I've often wondered, but I think the gift of knowledge also is like kind of there's a prophetic thing there with understanding something, having a knowledge about something. Then there's the gift of faith. Years and years ago, we were youth pastors in Missouri when we were in college. And I decided we wanted to do a missions trip with our youth group. And this is in the the southern hills of Missouri, and the majority of our kids had never left the state of Missouri. I mean, the majority of them had never left the state. And we were going to go overseas with them. And there was this huge turnout of people who wanted to do this. And we're talking about, like, they didn't know anything about traveling. They had none of them, hardly any of them had funds. It was a very poor area that we were in, actually, too. And I can only explain this as I was so aware that God gave me the gift of faith in that moment for our youth group to go to Panama. We went to Panama. Chad was in our youth group. He was like 16, maybe. 17. Was that your first overseas trip? Missionary extraordinaire over here. I'm just kind of feeling like I got him into the nations. No, God did it. God did it. He's a missionary forever now. Anyway, so I just had this gift of the gift from the Holy Spirit for faith. And I looked at those kids and I said, if you'll believe God, every single one of you, if you'll just stick with it, every single one of you will have the money and you'll go. And there was a few that kind of fell away, got scared right away and just got dropped out. But the rest of them, and we took a big group, every single one of them, the money just supernaturally came in. Every one of them. And it was so amazing. It was a gift of faith given for that moment, given for that task. Then there's gifts of healings. Now I think we can all pray for people, right, who are sick. And every single person, part of the Great Commission even, that you'll lay your hands on the sick, you'll raise the dead, and you'll drink deadly poison, not on purpose, but, you know, means someone tries to poison you, it won't harm you. There's a supernatural protection. That means every single one of us can do this, but some people have a gift of healing and it actually happens through them more. Healing happens through them more because they have a gift of healing. The gift of miracles. This is miracle works. This is not just healings of people's bodies, but miracles. Maybe like there was a well that went dry and Shannon and some other people prayed and the well was like revived. It was a miracle. A miracle, right? And then there's discerning of spirits. This is a weird gift. About 16 years ago, the Lord said, Autumn, you need to ask me for the discerning of spirits. And I said, I don't even know what that gift is, Lord. And he goes saying, you need this. I'm like, well, if you say I need it, then I need it. But you're going to show me what it is and how it works even. And then I tried to start studying, like, books on it. There were none. It's like you'd find a book on the gifts of the Spirit, and there'd be, like, three sentences on this particular gift. But this is really, this gift is where the Lord gives you the ability, the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to discern what spirit is at work in a situation, in a person's life. Very, very useful if you're doing any kind of deliverance ministry. Then there's the gift of tongues. I believe this is the public gift of tongues and also the gift of interpretation. This is where tongues is used as a prophetic word and with an interpretation. And then there's apostle and there's helps and there's administration. I love the gift of helps. I do not have this gift and I wish I did because I just think it's like I always think, oh, that person's so naturally helpful. Nobody in my family has this gift. We laugh about it all the time. Nobody wants to help each other. We just do the dishes because it's responsibility. Nobody's getting joy out of it. But the gift of helps is where really you're anointed by the Lord to come alongside the vision that God has laid out and just say, I just want to help make this vision happen. I'll do whatever it takes. I take such joy in just helping. Does anyone you just feel like I have that gift? Stanley definitely does. Yes, Augie, I love that. I wonder, okay, awesome, Lance. Joseph, I was thinking about Joseph, Dave, and Stanley, all three of you before service too. Just thinking about the gift of helps at work. And these guys, if there's anything ever to be done on the building, they're like, let me do it. I mean, they're just so eager to give their time to help God's people. Stanley has moved more people from house to house. If you ever move, you should have a lineup of people that owe you. I mean, you have used your truck, used your time with such joy. Amazing. And then there's the gift of administration. Aren't we glad that God likes to get things done? And he anoints people to get things done. And there's the gift of evangelist. This is the guy who loves to win souls. The gift of pastor, the one who loves to care for people's hearts. There's the gift of celibacy. And if you're really afraid that God's going to give you this gift, he probably hasn't given it to you. If you're like, no, God, any gift but that, guess what? You probably don't have it, and it's not in your future. Most people are supposed to get married, okay? But some are like, honestly, it's a gift on their life to be single for the purpose of being able to fully give themselves to the Lord and to God's people. And then we see missionary and hospitality also as gifts. So let me tell you something, though, that's not a spiritual gift. Because I just listed some. All of these are found in like the Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4 passages. But let me tell you something that's not a gift. Because each of one of us have just natural abilities given to us. I'm going to say they're given to us by God, right? Everything that we have the ability to do, we can point back to God who's so good. So let's say one of you is just super mechanical. You could fix anything. You're a fantastic car mechanic. Let's just say Jim. Jim, you're a fantastic, he is actually a fantastic mechanic. And welder, and I don't know why I can never really explain what you guys do. It's because you have multiple businesses. But anyway, and so he's really mechanical, right? Now, that ability has definitely been given to him by the Lord. Can he use the ability to serve people? Yeah, do it for the glory of God, right? Do everything for the glory of God. But you can't like look in the word and say, oh, he has the gift of car mechanics. Do you know what I mean? Like, or she has the gift of math. Like some of you are very mathematical. You're just so good with numbers. Now, praise God. God's the one that gave you the ability to learn, the ability to be sharp with numbers. But like the gift of like numbers isn't a gift. It is an ability that you carry, whether you're probably in Christ or outside of Christ, you have it. He gave it to you. Use it for his glory. Use it to make money. For all means, it's wonderful. But it's not a gift given. When you're born again, you get a spiritual gift, at least one. And you had the gift of car mechanics before you ever, like, were born again, right? Now, maybe he's going to give you the gift of helps, and you're going to start using your car mechanic skills to help widows and single moms. Oh, my goodness, wow. Now you just took your spiritual gift and you combined it. Shannon's cheering. I will take that gift. Now God's taken a spiritual gift, and you're using it with natural talent, and you're serving the body, and that is amazing. Do you see what I mean by that? So maybe some of you were just so good with English that you don't have the gift of the spirit of English, right? But you certainly can use your English skills, writing, speaking, for the glory of God, right? I mean, I'm trying my best to speak up here correctly, using my English for God's glory. I don't have the gift of English. You know, I don't have the gift of grammatical, like, correctness from the Spirit, you know, the spiritual gift. But maybe, I actually am not that great at English, but if I were, I would say, oh, well, I have a natural ability towards that. I could definitely use it for God's glory, right? All right. Let's talk about some important truths about spiritual gifts. I'm going to give you 8 in 20 minutes. When Jeff says that, you know you should double it. But when I say that, I'm pretty much, I'm accurate most of the time, right? Because he has so much such good stuff to say. I'm just giving you a hard time, babe. Number one, spiritual gifts aren't about you. Everyone just say, it's not about me. It's not about you. Spiritual gifts are not so you can like feel important. It's not so you can have a poster with your face on it. Corey Feisner, miracle worker. Please be a miracle worker, but he doesn't give you the gift for you. He gives you the spiritual gift to serve, to get low, to wash people's feet, so to speak. He gives you that gift so you could pour yourself out on the family of God and use it. I love looking at 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 because Paul is talking about the gifts of the Spirit in chapter 12. He's talking about the gifts of the Spirit in chapter 14. But what's right smashed in between? The love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, read at more weddings than any other scripture by far. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not selfish. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. Do you think Paul's just like, change subject, change subject, change? No, he's one subject. He's saying, use spiritual gifts in the context of love. Spiritual gifts, walk in love, spiritual gifts. He gives us spiritual gifts. And then he says, now with your spiritual gift, remember, love is patient. Love is kind. Love's not selfish. It doesn't envy. Don't envy another person's spiritual gift. It's not self-seeking. It's not self-promoting. It's this beautiful scripture talking about what love is, and it's sandwiched right between a teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. It's one teaching. This is why we can, with all confidence, say, God's given me a gift, and it's not for me. It's literally, he's anointed me to bless my brothers and sisters with this. And selfishness and self-centeredness will greatly impair your ability to use whatever gifts God's given you. They will be greatly impaired by selfishness and self-seeking and self. Number two, truth about spiritual gifts. Only through God's people using the gifts given to them by God can the church truly look like Christ. How many of you want us to look like Jesus, right? I want to look like Jesus. I know you want to look like Jesus. But when we come all together as a family, that's when we can really all together we look like Christ. Because he said, we're the body, he's the head of all of us, right? 1 Corinthians 12 that Jeff read, verse 27 says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. You have a part to play. If you are five than Jesus, you have something to give to the family. God says you're important. He says it takes every part doing its job to actually help us reflect Christ. Number three, church families who don't operate in their spiritual gifts are handicapped and ineffective. It's a bold statement, but it's true. Spiritual families, churches, who do not operate in their spiritual gifts are ineffective and handicapped. Who are we to say we don't need God's help given through his gifts? We need it. It's like you get to choose. You're building new construction, a brand new house. Would you like a set of power tools or would you like a hammer and a handsaw? Let's build a gorgeous masterpiece of a house and you get to have a lineup of power tools. I love power tools. I just redid my foyer and I did like this board and batten look. I had that miter saw out there and with every cut I was like, just as long as smooth, right? So easy. Measure twice, cut once. I measure four times and cut once. I didn't cut one board wrong. Thank you, God. It was a miracle, right? And the power tool. What if I was like measuring and then I was out here with a hacksaw? The spiritual gifts are the power tools of the family of God for us to accomplish the things he wants to in the spirit. The power tools. How many times has this church, we've been seeking God about something and the Lord releases some dreams to people and gives us direction? What, the gift of prophecy has just entered the family and it's functioning just like it should. We need direction, and there's the Holy Spirit coming in and saying, don't worry, I got people in the body that have this gift. Number four, every single gift is important, and no gift should be discarded or ignored. Everybody probably has their favorite gifts, you know? But verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 12 says this, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually most necessary. Wow. So I think it would be a mistake to exalt certain gifts. We should celebrate every gift. We should never exalt some gifts as more important than other gifts in the family, though, because we really will hurt ourselves and hurt our spiritual family if we do that. I'm going to give you an example. If I, for most people, there's certain gifts that seem a little more glittery. Just, I mean, they're just exciting. Like, I would love to see blind eyes opened. Like, really, it's one of the dreams of my heart is I actually want to pray for someone who's blind and see them. I've actually never seen that miracle myself when I'm praying for someone. My grandfather went blind really early, kind of a fluke thing. He went blind when he was like maybe 70. He lived to be 96, so that was early for him. And we prayed for him regularly. I just wanted to see his eyes change color. Like I wanted to see that gift. So some of us, like for most of us, we think of maybe one of the gifts in that list and we think, wow, that gift is like amazing. Because they are. They're all amazing. And some of them feel very, wow, worker of miracles? So cool. And it is. And then we can think, administration? Really? Like you're good at bookwork? And you're trying to tell me that's from the Holy Spirit? Evangelist, out winning the lost, door to door, 12 different countries, shared gospel with 12 different countries in 24 hours. Wow, guys, wow. The gift of helps, you mean like you help people? That's your gift? You help? You like help people move in the church? Renew our minds. All of us love missions, right? And we love missions trips. You would not like a missions trip if there wasn't an administrator involved. Oh, I promise you. I think I might have been on a few. They're not that fun if you don't have somebody that can organize. And how about that gift of leadership? I don't think it's as shiny as the gift of prophecy, maybe. But guess what? If you have nobody that can lead, and you're trying to go to Thailand and you're just going to herd cats the whole time. It's just going to be like, you know, just wandering around lost little puppies in the country. And you're going to arrive and just hope that you have, oh, hopefully we'll just find a hotel when we get there. And I mean, I don't really know how to get around. And I didn't take time to learn what the money currency is. And when I get there, you know, I'm just taking it that, you know, God's going to lead us. Yeah, he's going to lead you. And you're also going to prepare if you want to bring him glory. It takes all the gifts, right? It takes all the gifts. We're going to Thailand. It takes the gift of leadership. It takes the gift of administration. And I'm hoping when we get there, we also have the gift of evangelists on board, right? And it'd be great if we had that gift of mercy work on the team. So when one person starts getting riled up, someone with the gift of mercy steps in and says, oh, they're really tired because it took us 48 hours to get here. Oh, yeah, you're right. Good job, gift of mercy. Right? Every gift is super important. How about gathering the General's Conference? We love this conference. I mean, Holy Spirit has wrecked some of our lives through this event in the best way. And we could say, what's our favorite part of past conferences? And I'm sure we might point to like, this moment with the worship team. It's so amazing. Or that session when David Bradshaw, some of you remember him from Awaken the Dawn, he came 1 year. David Bradshaw was there and the Holy Spirit just erupted and he was preaching that message. It was so amazing. And we'd say, yeah, amazing. Praise God. Praise God the teaching gift was there, right? Praise God the prophetic gift was there. But none of those could have been enjoyed if there wasn't an administrative gift working the process for 4 months beforehand. And if the gift of helps wasn't involved in serving. And how about the gift of hospitality? Really, really important, right? Because all those guests that are coming in from out of town, we want them to feel welcomed, right? And our guest speakers need to be taken care of. And it's not just the apostle with the vision that is mattering in this situation. Maybe they had the vision and they vision cast, but if there's not other gifts, people carrying the gifts working together, we're really going to be lacking. I love thinking about this. I love thinking about all the different ways God uses different people and different gifts to accomplish the things that he loves to do. Here's a gift that not as many people talk about, but I actually love, the gift of hospitality. Really, there are people that it's just their gift. They love to have people in their home, cook them meals, be hospitable. Now, we all want to be hospitable people, right? But some people, it's their gift. They know how to, people step into their home and feel like they just stepped into their own house. You know, that comfort and so cared for really so well, right? And my parents have the gift of hospitality. And I have seen throughout the course of my life that gift, spiritual gift at work in the most amazing ways. They can just have anybody live with them for prolonged periods of time. Not just live with them for like a weekend, like come visit, but they just would have like a stream of foreign exchange students come through their home. And they never once signed up to have a foreign exchange student. It's bizarre. Foreign exchange students would come over from Eastern Europe, I'm thinking of several, land in homes that were disastrous. And they're little girls in high school in crisis. And my mom somehow would find, she just collects people in crisis, actually. She's just mother hen. She's wonderful. And she's just like, oh my goodness, this isn't going to work for them. And the home doesn't even really want them. And pretty soon they're living with my parents. Ukraine, Siberia, China. I mean, this has happened more than once. And they just live with them. And my parents, I don't think they have the gift of evangelism. But they all start getting saved eventually because they're just getting loved on by my mom and my dad. And, you know, my mom and dad are like, well, while they're here, we should take them on trips, pay for them. I think we should take them to Canada because there's a revival going on there. That'd be really good for them. So they get saved. They get filled with the Holy Spirit. They go back to Siberia, completely different people. And you know why? Gift of hospitality. It wasn't the gift of evangelism at work. It was the gift of God's love through hospitality at work. This one girl, she had come over on an English study. She's more like college age from China. And she had housing for a certain amount of time. So she's a little bit older, like in her 20s. And that housing ended, but she still had like weeks and weeks that she was in America. And somehow someone heard, maybe Dallas and Kay. And so my parents took this sweet gal in. And she just, you're just going to be part of the family for the next month. You know, no big deal. Bring her to church. She steps in the doors of the church. She goes, this feels wonderful. I think I might become a Christian. Communist China. there was so much impact on her life. Jeff actually got to continue to do Bible studies with her via like online Skype and stuff for like months and months, sharing the gospel systematically with her. Gift of hospitality. Isn't that beautiful? Aren't you just loving, like, find your gift and use it, right? Number five, truth about spiritual gifts. Every gift found in the Bible is still in use today and important to the health of God's family. I don't feel like I'm preaching to a crowd that I have to talk about this too much. Every gift is still at work today and still needs to be used today. In case, like, you're thinking, well, some gifts, you know, I've heard that some gifts kind of ceased with the apostles because those gifts, there is a train of thought of that those gifts were, certain gifts were given just for the establishing of the church. If that's true, we need the gifts more than ever because 42% of the earth is completely unreached in the 1040 window. The church is still being established. Every single gift, the whole Bible is just for us for today, right? He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He's so supernatural. Number six, the most important gift, listen to this very, very closely. The most important gift is the one that your Father handpicked for you. I know I told this story, but a lot of you haven't heard it because you've come to church in the last year or something. In 2018, we had a Gathering the Generals conference. And 2018, David Bradshaw from, he's the National Director for Awaken the Dawn, and Randy Martinez, who's the Director of Global Missions, they both came as guest speakers that year. And Randy was in a session, and at the end, he was doing like a ministry time. I had never seen anyone do a ministry time like this, but it was like the Holy Spirit was there. It was really powerful. And he was basically, he was saying, if you have a certain like sensation, I want you to stand up. And he would say like this, he would say this. You didn't know where he was going with it. If anyone feels a sensation on their nose, wasn't that it? With their nose, I want you to stand up right now. And people would be like, I actually feel like this sensation on my nose. And actually that was one for you, right? And stood up and he's like, okay, the Lord's giving you the gift of discerning of spirits. The Lord was leading him this way. And it was really cool. People were really getting touched. And he was going through a few gifts. And he says, excuse me. He says, if you feel something on your shoulders, I want you to raise both hands or stand up or something like that. If you feel a sensation on your shoulders. And immediately when he said that, I felt like something like a blanket just go on me. Like I just felt like really heavy. And I was like, wow, that's cool. I wonder what gift this is going to be. And I raised my hand because like, whoa, I feel the sensation. And he goes, God's giving you the gift of administration. And I literally jerked my hand down and screamed, no, 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 I don't want it. I don't want it. I hate administration. I don't want administration, Lord. Why would you give me that gift? Like I like literally, I was on the front row, guys, not a great leadership moment. Sorry if anyone saw that terrible example for you all. I've been making it right ever since. I jerked my hands down out loud. I said, no. And then I'm like, oh no. And then I'm like, then I start kicking in. No, Lord, whatever you want to give me, I receive. You know what I need. Oh my goodness. Okay, I receive this. I just receive it. I receive whatever you have for me. My entire life was changed that day. I had been doing administration all my life, but not with the gift of the Holy Spirit. I had been doing admin because every team I ever was on, there's like one to two people that have the ability to do something, to get something done. And if you're the one that can get something done, guess what? You get to get it all done. And so I had this bad taste in my mouth for administration. Like, I don't want to be on another team where I'm doing 90% of the work. Because for whatever reason, no one else can organize anything. So this was, in case you ever, anyone feels this, that was my inner healing for you. In Jesus' name, may the Lord heal you. But I mean, I had a lifetime of this. And so 2018, I had spent the last 10 years running from administrative work, going, that's not the soul of who I am, is not just administration. and I'm not doing anything unless the Holy Spirit leads me. I'm not going to be the only person on the team, all that pressure that can do anything so I get everything done. So this is where I'm coming from when I'm like, don't give it to me, God. Everything changed, though, because when he gave me the gift, there was a supernatural ability and joy that came with it. There was an anointing on it. It went from a natural talent I was born with, just an ability I was born with, to a spiritual gift I walked in for the glory of Jesus. And within, I would say, man, within a couple months, I was swept up into just a whole storyline with the movement, Awaken the Dawn, the prayer and worship movement. It's a national movement. And I was like within months on their national leadership team and really helping organize their entire ministry. And I had a mind for it. I was so aware that I have something I did not have before. I could look at the chaos, a ministry that had like, you know, needed a lot of organization, just go, I think it needs to be like this and like this and like this. And then this branch is going to take care of this. And this team's going to take care of this. And this team's going to take care of this. And we need to organize it like this. And it just came into, like, it was amazing. And at that season, I could do it. I could work like that for 6 and 8 hours straight. And when the Lord was anointing me in that moment to help that ministry through the gift of administration. So I say that the most important gift is the one that your Father wants to give you. Amen? Just say, I'm going to love my gifts. Yeah. Number 7, spiritual gifts must be discovered and developed. So I have a question. In the room, how many of you think you are pretty sure of at least one spiritual gift that you have? Just raise your hand. If you think that, I know what at least one spiritual gift that I have. Okay, awesome. Now, I'm not going to make you raise your hand, but I guess if I say, is there anyone in the room that you have no idea what spiritual gift you have? We would also have hands raised. I just want to say you're not alone. I actually think there's a process with the Holy Spirit, where we discover with God what he's given us. So the minute you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit and you are given a spiritual gift, right? Are you mature though? No, you're a baby. You're a toddler. You're just toddling around, right? Pooping your diaper. I mean, you are like a mess, but you have a spiritual gift. So now it's what has God given you? And what do you need to do to develop it, right? Joseph Cardenas is so amazing at this. I'm just going to like call him out. For about a full year, he said, I'm going to discover the gift of leadership. And I'm going to, like, basically he was listening to podcasts, reading books, right, on leadership. Because he felt like it was, and I agree, that it was a gift on his life. He has a gift for leadership. And so him, when he recognized, I think I have this gift, he didn't just sit back in his easy chair and wait for it all to come to him, right? He began to take steps to try to develop the thing that God had given him. And then earlier this year, he said, you know, I'm going to switch gears because I think I might have a prophetic gift. And I want to develop that. And so he began to read books and study the word and listen to podcasts or whatever it is to be able to develop that prophetic gift that he had. What a great example. What a great example. I know God's given me a gift of leadership, but I work really hard, really intentional to develop as a leader. Because I could have a gift of leadership and not be that great of a leader. I mean, I could have the spiritual gift given by the Holy Spirit to lead and still not be that great at it. Because there's a maturity that comes with it, right? There's a maturing of the gift. There's an experience that you need to live out. There's developing. And so I listen to leadership podcasts. This is a regular part of my life. I hire a life coach. For a year and a half, I meet with a life coach 1 to 1.5 hours a week for leadership development of my own life, where I just meet with my life coach and say, here's some leadership issues, here's what I'm bumping up against, and I'm developing myself as a leader under the grace of God, because I don't want what God's doing here to ever be stifled or have a ceiling on it because I can't lead past kindergarten level. If I'm at kindergarten level, well, that's where I'm at. But Lord, help me to move to fourth grade, right? Eventually. And then sixth grade. And maybe I'll get into 12th grade eventually. And hopefully someday have a master's and a doctorate even in the gift of the spirit of leadership. So I say that for each one of us, whatever your gift is, discover it and then take the time to develop it. And you develop it through using it, number one. And then you develop through studying the Bible, studying how that gift works in the Word. Last thing. The last truth about spiritual gifts. You can ask for gifts from the Holy Spirit. And this came from, actually, someone in the church came to me one time and said, do you think it's okay to ask God for a gift? Like, I know that he's given me gifts and he's given other people gifts. And I think the idea is like, well, I don't want to covet another gift. I don't want to be jealous of someone else's gift. But the question was, is it okay that I just ask the Lord for a certain gift that I'm really interested in or that I'm drawn to? And I want to say, absolutely, of course, you can ask Holy Spirit for gifts. Now, it's up to God whether he gives it to you, right? But 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, since you're so eager to have special abilities the Spirit gives, seek those that will strengthen the church. And so maybe when you read that list of spiritual gifts, you're like, there's one that you're like, I don't know if I have that, but I would love to have that gift. Like, I feel like just drawn to that gift of the Holy Spirit. Begin to ask him for it. Remember, I don't think that God is going to be angry with you when you want more anointing and ability to bless his people. When we keep that in perspective, what are the gifts for? The gifts are to serve, right? Then it frees us like, well, I want as many gifts as I can have then. If this is how I serve, if this is part of the grace of God on my life to build other people up, then God, give me as much grace as I can have. I just want to end with this. I've heard some people say, well, whenever, you know, I have all the gifts at my disposal because I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. I understand that. I think that train of thought is right. Like, God can do anything through anyone, right? And I've heard a lot of people say this. Well, any gift that I need, you know, I have the Holy Spirit inside of me, so I have that gift. I have all the gifts. But actually, in all these passages where they teach about the gifts of the Spirit, where Paul teaches about the gifts of the Spirit, he says we're many different parts and one body. Doesn't he say that? And he says that one part should never say to another part, I don't need you. Right hand, I don't need you. Left hand. And it says, what does it say that, what if everyone was an ear, then we couldn't see. If everyone was an eye, we couldn't hear, right? I think it's really clear. You don't have all the spiritual gifts. And no matter what, how hard you run, you're going to need your family. No matter how independent you want to be, God's going to make sure you need the person sitting next to you. Just look at that person and say, I need you. Just say, I need you. And then look at them and say, and you need me. You don't have everything, and you're never going to, and God's going to make sure you always need each other. Does that mean that he can't give you some supernatural gift that just for like a task maybe? Like, hey, I'm going to give you the gift of faith for this moment. Of course he could. He can do anything he wants. But as we live through life, as we do family together, we need each other. We need the grace of God, the gifts of God working in and through us. And if we're going to reach neighborhoods and nations, if we're going to make Jesus known in all the earth, we're going to have to start recognizing we carry something for the family. We have something to give by the grace of God, and we got to use it. Get over our insecurities, get over ourselves, and just say, I'm diving in. I'm not going to be a spectator. This is my family. This is my church. And I take ownership of this family. This isn't Jeff's family. This isn't Autumn's family. This is my family, and I'm going to serve my family for the glory of God and for the good of each other, right? Let's go ahead and stand up. I just want us to pray for a moment. If you could close your eyes and just bow your heads. If you, I don't want anyone else looking around. If you are you are a believer, you are a Christian in this room, but you really don't have any idea what spiritual gift the Holy Spirit's given you, I just want you to raise your hand right now. I don't want anyone else looking around, but I just want you to raise your hand because we're going to pray that the Lord would start giving you understanding. Awesome. I see that gift. I see that hand. Anyone else? Okay, I see that hand, that one too. Awesome. I see a bunch of hands. That's great. You can put your hands down. Right now, Lord, I pray, God, let's pray in agreement. Just agree in your heart as I pray. The Holy Spirit, I pray you begin to open up understanding about what spiritual gift or gifts you have given your people in this room. Even as the humility of acknowledging, like, I don't have any idea. I pray you'd set them on a journey of discovery, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray you'd begin to open up their eyes to the things that you've given them, the gifts that rest on them to serve the body. Thank you, Lord. Everyone's eyes still closed. There's a second question I have. If you feel like, okay, I know that I have spiritual gifts, but I've actually not been serving the family of God with them, and I want to just acknowledge that right now before the Lord, and I want to repent. I want to say, God, show me how to use my gifts for your glory and for the good of the family. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. If you have spiritual gifts, you know them, but you're not really using them. Okay. Awesome. There's a lot of you. A lot of you. Okay, let's pray this prayer all together. Why don't we repeat after me? Say, Jesus, I love your gifts. I love your family. I want to serve your family. I repent of not using the gifts of the Spirit. I repent for not serving the family. Show me how to move forward. Show me how to lay down my life for my brothers and sisters, for their good, and for your glory. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you would help us to be a whole family of ministers of the gospel, Lord. We just declare every member is a minister. Every member is important. Every member has ministry, has a part to play. God, I pray that you would break off insecurity, feelings of insignificance, things, ways the enemy has beat us down, stolen our voice, kept us on the sidelines. Lord, I pray you would bring us out, Lord, into that beautiful place of serving and laying down our lives so neighborhoods and nations can know. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. God bless you guys. Have a great day.